Hello, this is David Greenwalt, founder and developer of the Leanness Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle online program, a comprehensive lifestyle management program for weight loss. What you are about to hear is an interview I did on the phone with Karen Geninati, a national level bodybuilder from Illinois. I have no doubt you will enjoy this interview and be able to take away several valuable insights Karen shares about her off-season and pre-contest training. Okay, welcome everyone. This is David Greenwalt, and today I have a very special guest with me. Her name is Karen Geninati, and she's from Illinois. Welcome, Karen, to the program.
Hello.
Would you tell us a little bit about yourself, your age, and married or not, and kids, and profession, and just give us the little scoop on what goes on in your part of the world?
Okay, I'm soon going to be 49, and I've been married to Rick for almost 30 years now. And we have two sons. Tyson is 26 and lives in Florida, and Colin is 18 and just graduated high school. I have my own personal training gym in Carlinville, Illinois, and I also train a couple days a week in Springfield, Illinois at the clubs up there and also in people's homes, and also do some online training. A typical day is pretty busy for me. A lot of times I will have more than one client at a time. I do partner training, like 18 clients a day sometimes. So
wow.
It's a pretty busy day.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, that is busy.
Yeah.
Well, how long have you been involved in fitness? How long have you been doing this, bodybuilding, fitness, or where did you get your start?
Well, I've been working out, per se, for like 28 years. But as you know, the things that we did 28 years ago is not what we're doing now. You know,
right.
Fitness has evolved so much. You know, probably back then I was maybe doing, you know, the Nautilus machines, the aerobic classes, which are totally different than, you know, what aerobic class consists of now. So, you know, I started out working out that way. Then even though I just really enjoyed working out, I always wanted to have a purpose for my workouts. So I got into some marathon running, and then after I'd done that, I thought, okay, I've done that, but I want to work towards a goal that is geared toward maybe a different part of fitness, and that's when I got started seriously into the weightlifting, and at that time I had a trainer myself. Even when I began personal training, I still had a trainer myself, and he asked me if I'd ever given any thought to bodybuilding, and I said no, but of course as soon as he said that, that made me think about it. So I've been competing as a bodybuilder for about 8 years. I did my first contest when I was 40. So I trained to compete as a bodybuilder for 2 years before I ever stepped on the stage, and I thought that I was ready at that time, but now looking back at it, I realize I wasn't ready, but had I not stepped on the stage that first time, I might not still be doing it now, so it wasn't such a bad thing.
So after competing in, you say you ran a marathon?
Yes,
and
Chicago Marathon, and then did quite a few other half marathons and smaller mm-hmm. races.
So you've been, you've really only been bodybuilding as far as building muscle and looking at that aspect of things since you were about 38.
Mm-hmm.
And you got on stage your first time at 40.
Right.
After 2 years of kind of focused training in that area.
Right, training as a bodybuilder.
Right. Well, what was the biggest change for you, if you can remember, when you were training just for fitness and aerobic conditioning for your marathons and half marathons and whatever you were running? And what you were doing compared to being a bodybuilder? What was the biggest change for you that you remember?
Well, I guess that like when I was doing the marathon running, it seemed like my exercise was focused on like burning calories, right?
You right.
know, which for most women it is. You
right.
know, they want to burn calories.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that nothing shapes your body like weight training does. So, you know, and then I really got to understand the purpose behind exercises rather than just doing them,
right.
you know. understanding, okay, this is what's going to happen when I do this. Or if I switch this around, this is what's going to happen. If I increase the weight here, or, you know, just really learning how to put together a program so that I can shape my body.
In my program, we call that training with specific intent. You know, like
very
I said,
good,
you
yeah.
know, instead of just burning calories, it's like, what is the specific intent of the training we're trying to do? And let's make sure we're doing the right kind of training for the right purpose.
Right. So like if you're doing something, you should be able to answer the question, why are you doing that?
Right. Yeah, that's great. Now, did your body respond quickly to bodybuilding? Did you notice, were you already fairly lean? And did you notice, you know, within, say, 6 months, some substantial muscle had accumulated or no?
Yes, I'm... it's not hard for me to put on muscle, but it is hard for me to get lean.
Okay.
And I know if someone looks at my contest photos, they might not think that, but it's very hard for me to get lean, but easy for me to put on the muscle.
Got it. I want to talk at some point in time in this interview a little bit at least about that recent competition you competed in, the Team Universe in New York, but that's just outstanding. And I know it's your third time doing it, too. So, all right, so... what's your education level? What are your certifications?
ACE certified, and that's the only personal training certification that I hold. You know, I am certified to AAIA, and you know, for aerobics, anti-aging specialist, and. Certified lifestyle and weight management consultant, sports nutrition, but as far as the personal training, yeah, that's through ACE, which I think is a real reputable program.
Is it, at your level, being a top-level natural bodybuilder, is it going to be too much to ask where your weight has been throughout your adulthood?
No, I don't mind answering that.
I mean, were you ever heavy? Did you ever, and what, you know, what's your high and low and kind of where are you at now? Take us through, you know, your 20s and then, you know, pregnancy. Did you have any difficulty, you know, getting back in shape after pregnancy? Just that kind of thing. Because a lot of my clients, like your clients, are women and men who are definitely trying to get the weight off, get the fat off.
Right. I love the comparison between my two pregnancies because my first one, that was when I was, let's say, I guess I was 20, 21, and that's been 26 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, the doctors didn't say, oh, yeah, go ahead and keep doing what you're doing now, you know, as long as your body's used to that, it's fine. You know, they didn't encourage you to be as physically active. And before I got pregnant, I was running. And so during my pregnancy, I quit running, and I gained 40 pounds during that pregnancy.
Okay.
My second pregnancy, that was about 8 years later, and then it was more acceptable. The doctors are more in agreement with being able to continue your workout program. I continued doing everything that I was doing, which was weight training, aerobics, and running, and I gained 8 pounds, and the baby weighed 7.5, so that was a huge difference.
You gained 8 pounds during the pregnancy?
I gained 8 pounds. I lost a lot of body fat during the pregnancy.
Wow.
But I was, you know, as far as the baby was concerned, you know, he was getting everything that he needed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that my metabolism was so high during that time. Plus, being able to continue doing everything I did. I was even in aerobic class when I went into labor, so I was right up into the time.
Now, what did the doctors say about 8 pounds? Don't they normally recommend 20-ish or so?
Yes, but they were monitoring, you know, the baby's weight.
Right.
And they could tell that it was body fat that I was losing, mm-hmm. but as far as the baby, he was getting everything that he needed.
Well, that's great. I'm glad that the doctors were... you know, we're not making it overly hard on you to do what was working for you.
Right.
I could see doctors freaking out on that since you probably, by the way, give us your height and weight. Like, what were your weights then, and how tall are you?
I am only 4'11".
Okay.
And Actually, I don't remember what my weight actually was during pregnancy and after. I just know that with the first one I gained 40 and the second one I gained 8.
Okay.
And probably what I consider to be my highest weight not being pregnant was probably 130, which for my height and at that time it was not a lot of muscle. You know, that's being overly fat. Now, I have gotten up close to 130 recently in my off season, and by that when I'm not competing.
Right.
That's still a little bit heavier than I would like to get. I last competed at a weight of 107, and really I think if I would stay within 10 pounds of my competition weight, that it would be better for me as far as the condition of my skin, because, you know, as we get older, our skin loses the elasticity and the tightness.
Right.
And you can do some things to improve on that, but, you know, we have to realize that's a natural part of aging. And I feel like if I put on more than 10 pounds in the off season, that causes the skin to stretch. Then when I get really lean for a contest, even though I can lose the fat, the skin doesn't have a chance to catch up with it and give me that tight look.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for, you know, for just being open about that, because you had said, you know, a few minutes ago that adding the muscle comes rather natural for you, but stripping the fat or being lean or getting lean is much more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And your honesty and openness about the fact that even at your level, that very advanced top-level competitor, in the off season, you go up maybe another 10 or 15 pounds heavier than you would ideally like to.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, the way that a bodybuilder eats can be very healthy. I mean, we eat very healthy things.
Right.
It's also very restrictive. And, you know, so many times I have clients say, just tell me what you eat. I want to eat that way. And, I really don't think, unless you're competing, that it's really the best way to eat, because you need to eat healthy, portion-controlled amounts of things from all the food groups, you know.
Right.
And with a bodybuilding diet, there are some things that I just don't eat.
Mm-hmm. Especially in your dialing in your last probably 3 to 6 weeks or so.
Right, right.
Well, you've competed a lot. You've competed in bodybuilding. Now, have you done bodybuilding, figure, both? What have you done?
Just bodybuilding.
Just bodybuilding.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be darned. So, well, let's see. 10 years ago, I think there was figure 10 years ago, of course.
Figure is fairly new.
Right.
You know, there's the three categories for women. There's bodybuilding, fitness, and figure.
Right. And bodybuilding was the one you were attracted to. Must have been from the start.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you have a ton of quality muscle. I mean, it's just outstanding.
Thank you.
And you've been really just resistance training seriously for about, you know, what would you say, 10 years now?
Yeah, well, you know, I've always done it for about 28 years. But,
okay.
You know, in the beginning, it was just like, mm-hmm. you know, maybe three times a week go through a full circuit of Nautilus equipment. And then, you know, I started into the free weights. But then getting really serious as far as, like, breaking it down into, say, doing my chest one day, you know, my legs one day, back and shoulders one day, working out like that as far as a bodybuilder, been doing that for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you work out with a partner or alone most of the time, or what do you do?
Alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really prefer that. I'm too into my own workout to work out with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I would like it if somebody is just training me, that's cool.
Right.
But I don't, it's just too hard for me to think about someone else, you know, with me while I'm doing my workout.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have a trainer, although he lives in Gurnee, a little north of Chicago. So physically, I do not get to work out with him a lot, but I'm in touch with him daily. I have to text him my weight daily, and He helps me with my diet, and if I need help changing things around, you know, he'll do my workout for me. Like the time before my last competition was last week in New York. Before that, it was the Junior USAs in South Carolina. That was in April. I needed to do some serious improvement between that time, and so you know, he wrote that out for me, and I feel like I did make improvement, and that's hard to do in, you know, 2.5 months to make considerable improvement as far as changing your physique.
Right. Now, were you trying to mostly do it with a further lowering of body fat or more muscle or what?
More muscle.
Really?
Yeah,
that's a short time period to add muscle.
Right. I kept my body fat about the same, although I did come in about 5 pounds lighter. So I did drop my body fat a little bit. But the hardest area for me to get into competition shape is the glutes and the hamstrings.
Mm-hmm.
And so that required some heavy deadlifting. It was like for 2 weeks that the exercises would change, but
right.
Was working the legs twice a week and really focusing on those areas.
Give us your, if you would, what's your normal resistance training split? How do you split your body up? Like, what do you train on what day, and what day would that typically be?
And that is something that's really hard for me to do. I read in magazines all the time where people write down their weight training routine. That's really hard for me because I change it so much. For instance, this week I'm going to work my arms with my chest,
okay,
and my shoulders with my back,
mm-hmm,
and I'm going to be doing legs 2 times, and I usually work abs every other day.
So will that be 4 resistance training workouts plus abs?
Right, yeah. And the abs would usually be on one of the other weight training days, too.
Right.
But I never just think, oh, I'm going to stick some abs in at the end of my workout. They get as much attention as my shoulders and my chest would. You
okay.
know? I think that's a mistake a lot of people make. They think, oh, I'll throw some abs here at the end of my workout or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's very important that they get treated just like any other muscle group. Especially when you're on a stage, if you see someone whose abs are dialed in and in condition, usually they're in condition all over.
Right. It's definitely the focus. When you're sitting in the audience, and I've sat in, I don't know, probably 30 different shows over the years, including the Olympia and the Arnold and everything in between,
mm-hmm,
the first spot your eyes go, typically.
Yep.
Right to the abs.
The abs. And I think that as soon as you walk out on that stage and you're hitting your, what they call the relaxed pose, which is a very weird name for it because you're really not relaxed.
Right.
But as soon as you walk out there and hit that pose, I think so many of the time the judges make up their mind right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who the winner's going to be, and it has a lot to do with not only your leanness and your amount of muscle that you have, but how you present that to the judges. There's people who could have it, but if they can't present it and show the judges that they have it, they're not going to see it.
Right. And you've been in big enough shows, too, where the classes are big enough where if you don't get that first call out, the first look,
mm-hmm,
you're done.
Yep, that's right.
And like you said, they can just do the quick scan. They don't have a lot of time, and they might be looking at 20 competitors in a line, or 10,
exactly,
or 15, and if you don't pop,
mm-hmm,
that's it.
You've got to walk out on that stage,
mm-hmm,
knowing that you've done everything that you could possibly do, and walk out there just like you're the best one out there.
You bet.
And it's not about being cocky. It's just about being able to present yourself.
Well, I want to say that I've seen you compete in Rockford, and that's exactly what you did. That's exactly what you do. Mm-hmm. So Karen definitely practices what she preaches there. And
thank you.
When you see her compete, if you ever do see her compete, if you're ever lucky enough, you'll remember she just really stands out. So,
mm-hmm,
all right, so let's go to, I want to ask you about this 2 leg workouts a week. Just as an example, I realize you change it up a lot, but give me an example of how you do 2 leg workouts a week. Like, just generally speaking, what's one leg workout involve, and then what's the other one?
Right now, one of them is going to be focused on squats, deadlifts, leg extension, leg curls, and maybe another compound exercise like the leg press or barbell lunges.
Okay.
The other one is completely different. It's plyometric. Jump squats, you know, jumping up onto a platform.
Right.
Really a lot of explosive type movements.
Has the trainer who's laid out the program for you given the specific intent of the second one, the plyometric one?
Nope, that one's my idea. He doesn't really agree with that
one. Okay. Well, I do know, I mean, there's a lot of people, there's obviously a lot of science behind plyometrics, and it's used in so many explosive types of sports. I just didn't know if there was something, you know, specific that...
I feel like it really helps me to get my glutes in shape and to keep my legs, to get them lean and keep them in all-around condition. But I wouldn't rely on that as my only leg workout. I really think that you need to go heavy on the weight in order to get the muscle, you know, heavy on the squats, heavy on presses. Really, that was one of the big changes that he had me do between my last two contests, was going really heavy on the deadlift, heavier than I ever had.
What is that for you, Karen? What's heavy mean for you in the deadlift?
Well, those were also done on a platform, you know, with a barbell.
Right.
So it's going down low. And when I first started them, my first set was 30 reps. Actually, when I first started, all of my sets were 30 reps, and I started with 75 pounds. From the time that I started them after my April contest till I ended it about 2 weeks before my last contest, which was about 2 months, I went from 75 pounds to 135.
And that's that's a conventional deadlift where the plates are on the floor and you grip the bar and conventional style.
Get the booty out and the chest out and squeeze the rear end and
stand up. Right. So you started off with 75 pounds for 30 reps.
Uh-huh.
And you finished with 135 for what by the end of your cycle?
I was shooting for 20 reps at that, and most of the time I couldn't get 20 reps out, but I would get out as many as I can, put that bar down, look at it for a while, and pick it back up and just keep going until I got the 20 reps out.
Now, is that typical in your rep range to go 30 to 20 in your training?
No, I normally wouldn't do as high as 30 reps. Usually a lot less than that.
Right.
Usually not more than 20 reps for legs.
Mm-hmm.
But then within a workout, say I might start it with my squats, 20 reps for my first set, maybe go down to as low as 5 reps.
Right.
By the time I progressed in the weight.
Now in your squat, you just give me an example of that decrease in reps, and then what the weight is typically for you in the squat.
Well, I would probably do my first set, which I would consider a warm-up set, with like 115. On a good day, when I felt like I was really up to it, I'd gone up to 200.
For how many?
6 is the most I've gotten out at 200.
It's a lot of weight for a little thing like you, though. That's a
lot
of weight.
I know some people might think that's not a lot, but it is when you go to bend your knees and then come up out of the hole with it on your back.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're only 4'11". You're not very.
You don't have to go far, huh?
Well, no, I mean you're not very. You're just not very big overall. I mean, it's not like you're talking about a linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys or something. I mean, 200 pounds.
And I do pay attention to how I feel. You know, if I get in the squat rack that day and for some reason it's just not comfortable to me, I say, okay, today it's not going to be as heavy. The next time I come back to it, it'll be there. And usually it is. You know, I think it's important to be aware of how your body's feeling. You're not always up to the heavy weight, but usually I find if I have a day that I consider a bad day or not as good as I would like for it to be,
right,
usually the next time I come back, then it's better.
Right. Well, there's a tremendous amount of experience that goes into that kind of thinking. I'm definitely of a similar thinking, and I've also been training, 24-ish years now. You know, our cumulative building of, you know, what we've done in more than a couple decades of working out, it certainly gives a lot of experience into listening to your body, knowing what it's telling you,
right,
and being able to approach a workout and know that it's not the end of the world if today on that workout you don't set the world on fire.
Exactly.
You come back and hit it again, and you and I know that we're going to be there 3-4 days a week consistently, you know, 50 weeks a year or whatever.
Right.
And to me, that's the biggest difference that people listening need to understand is when you say you listen to your body and you might back it down a notch, how many weeks do you take off a year, Karen? Completely off.
Recall the last time I took a complete week off.
Right. That's exactly what I was anticipating you were going to say. And that's why, obviously, it's one of the reasons that why you do it, when you do it that way, it works.
Right.
I mean, you don't take the summers off. You know, a lot of clients listening, they take the summers off, or they take 3 or 4 months off, and then they come back, and each workout is critical or, you know, life-altering it needs to be because they just haven't been as consistent.
Right, and that's the key to fitness in general, I think, whether you're talking about with your diet or your cardio or your weight training, consistency.
Well,
I don't mean doing the same thing all the time.
Right.
I mean being consistent with continually making progress and always thinking about, okay, what do I want to do? You've got to have a plan if you want to go from A to B. You've got to know how you're going to get there.
Well, when you were talking about, you know, the struggles of the fat loss part of this, that's a definite key for my clients because, like I say, the overwhelming majority have a strong desire and a need to get off the fat that they just don't need on their body. And I'm not talking about to get into bodybuilding condition. I'm just talking about overall health and stuff. So when you're training and you're stripping body fat, what cardio do you typically do? How do you break it up? And how many hours a week would you say you train in cardio versus resistance training?
I do cardio 6 days a week. And in the off season, that's probably 45 minutes to an hour a day. And that's always done first thing in the morning. I do feel like that's a good way to burn body fat, but it's also how I like to start my day.
Mm-hmm.
And then leading up to a competition, this last one, it was 2 hours a day.
Right. 7 days a week?
Nope. There were a couple weeks it was, but I still tried to take that 1 day a week off.
Right.
Just to, you know, let the body heal a little bit and let me get mentally focused to start back at it again.
Mm-hmm.
Friday is the day I take off.
There you go. What cardio do you typically do?
My favorite is running stairs.
Like real stairs?
Yeah. The stairs at our courthouse in Carlinville. It's a real tall building. It's just like Rocky.
You're right.
And
up and down you go.
Yeah. Sometimes I walk them every other step, just really squeezing and thinking about every step, squeezing the glute with every step. And sometimes I'll run up and down every step. Sometimes I'll sprint them and skip a step when I'm running. Sometimes I'll run them sideways. And I just like to park my car by the stairs, blast the music, and just start running. And I might add in some plyometric things, like on the bottom step. When I get to the bottom, I might do some squat jumps up onto the bottom step. But most of the time that I do my stair running at competition time, it would be for an hour at a time.
Mm. What do you do in the winter?
Well, as long as there's not ice or snow on them, I'll still do them. But as far as indoor piece of cardio equipment, in my gym I have an ARC trainer, which you don't see them very much in gyms, but they're an awesome piece of cardio equipment. It's kind of hard to explain. Looks similar to a cross trainer, but the position that your body is in really works the legs, really puts you in a good position to get a good glute and leg workout. And also I like the step mill, not a stair machine, but the step mill where the stairs actually are coming around to you.
Right.
Sometimes I might do the treadmill or the bike, but one one thing that every cardio workout would have in common, no matter how long I'm doing it for, the first 20 minutes are intense intervals. And then, so like if I'm doing cardio for, you know, an hour.
Right.
The first 20 minutes are intense intervals.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the time, my heart rate's still going to be up. But I'm, at that point, I'm mainly just keeping the fat burning going.
Right.
But really tap into it that first 20 minutes.
How long is a common resistance training workout for you?
Usually about an hour.
Okay. So you do that about 4 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cardio is the rest of the time.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes I will, I'd have to say getting close to a contest, I weight train more than 4 days a week. I would just, you know, I might do legs and then, say sometimes I would put chest and back together and then maybe arms the next day, legs again, and then do shoulders all by themselves. And just, I'd just start the circuit all over again. Just making sure that I have one day a week where I'm not weight training.
You really split the body up when you're getting closer to a show. I mean, you really focus on almost mm-hmm. one body part a day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Leading the last 2 weeks leading up to a competition, I have a push-up routine that I do. What that is, it's a certain percentage of my maximum number of push-ups done every day, all day long, from the time I get up till the time I go to bed, every day for 2 weeks.
Mm.
So
you do that, what, when you're not answering the phone? Or
I have to set a timer, and the timer goes off. And, you know, when it's time to do push-ups, I would tell my client, okay, you might as well do them with me. I got to do them.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
But it's like a different timed intervals all day long and mm-hmm. a different percentage of your max.
Okay. Well, you know, as a trainer and a busy trainer that you are, what are some common myths that you find yourself kind of debunking, or what do you find is some of the most common things that women your age think is possible with their body or the mindset? What do you find yourself just kind of correcting constantly?
I think for most women, they don't realize how important it is for progression. They get stuck in doing something that's comfortable to them and they like to do.
Right.
And then, you know, that's going to work for a while, but then your body's accustomed to that, and you're not going to change your body unless you are changing things. And usually the hardest of the exercises are the most effective.
Compound complex movements.
Yes.
Squats, deadlift.
The more muscle that you can work, the more movement in the exercise, the greater the result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think that a lot of women, they'll find their exercises they like, and they just want to do those over and over again, or they want to put too much emphasis on cardio and not realize, okay, that's good. We need to do that in order to be healthy for our heart and to burn calories, but to shape your body, you've got to weight train and really focus on the muscles when you're weight training.
What are some of the most common myths you find yourself kind of debunking when it comes to nutrition with your clients?
Oh.
She sighs. She sighs out loud.
You know, I require almost all my clients to keep a food log.
Okay.
And they'll bring it in, and I'll say, well, how do you feel you did this week or since I saw you last? Well, I think I did pretty good, you know, and then you look at it and it's Subway or, you know, a salad from, I probably shouldn't be naming restaurants, but, you know, true, there are healthier choices you can get at a restaurant than others, but, you know, we need to get away from the processed foods and eat things in their natural state as possible, and, you know, cook the food at home and be prepared. I think that's the biggest thing with making sure that you eat a healthy diet is being prepared and having the right foods on hand so that when it's time to eat a meal, you know what you're supposed to have, you have it in front of you, and you eat it. You know, so many people are busy, and they're just, you know, running through the drive-thrus, and you just can't convince me that that's nutritional food that you get there, even if it's a salad with grilled chicken on it. You know, sometimes I look at that piece of meat, and I'm like, you're actually trying to convince me that that's real meat there. then I think after that it would be that they're in denial about the amount of food that they eat.
Right. Probably by about 50%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that probably the average person underestimates their caloric intake by about 500 to 700 calories a day, and that's a lot.
Yeah. You bet. Could be the difference between losing and not losing, or maybe even
mm-hmm.
gaining.
I realize that when I have someone keep a food log and bring it in to me, that I'm probably only seeing just a portion of what they're putting into their mouth.
Right.
And every bite does count.
Every bite
and
counts.
I'm not saying that you can't have a cheat meal once in a while. I think that's important to do that. But that's something you have, you write it down, and you don't feel guilty about it. Mm-hmm. But then the rest of the time, you know, stick with a good eating plan.
It's great advice, absolutely great advice. What is something that my listeners, women age primarily 25 to 55, that they must know that could help their mindset about changing their body for the better long term? I mean, that's exactly what you've done. I mean, you've been doing this a long time. What have you found has worked for your clients or in you working with them and whatnot that has helped their mindset to be more consistent and not take the summers off or not take... you know, not go for 3 weeks and then take the next 6 months off and whatnot.
I think that would be having a clear-cut plan and a goal. Whenever I start working with the client, we'll do measurements, fat percentage at that time, and then I will tell them, okay, this is when we're going to do this again, and I think it's realistic by that time that this number should change to this number. So it's not like I'm just saying, okay, this is where you are, and we're going to improve on it.
Right.
Well, we need to know what, or they need to know what I expect of them in 2 months, and then sit down and write out a plan about how they're going to get there. And sometimes women will come in and they'll say, I tried everything. And I'll be like, okay, well, have you tried this? No. Well, have you tried this? No. And then a lot of times I feel that women are too impatient. They'll try something for 2 weeks. They're not seeing the results all of a sudden. So then they switch to something else. And maybe both of those things would work for them, but you can't just always be switching from one thing to another.
Right.
Stick with something and see how your body responds to it. If you're having progress, well, that means you continue with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that there's a cookie-cutter program that's for everybody, because that's definitely not. That's the beauty of being a personal trainer, is working with someone and thinking, okay, I think this is what this person needs. You know, I don't recommend the same thing to everybody. Everyone's personalities are different. Their bodies are different. Their lifestyles are different. You need to have a clear-cut plan and a set of goals. Then I also ask them, okay, why don't you think you've been able to do this in the past? What have been the roadblocks for you? What's the stumbling blocks? What's prevented you from being where you should be? So then once we define those and say, okay, well, we know this is a roadblock for you. Okay, how are you going to go around it? Okay, we write that down. You know, I think that it just helps having I call it the roadmap, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is where you are sitting here today. This is where you want to be. Well, if you were sitting here and you wanted to drive to California, you don't just get in your car and start driving, because you'd probably never get there.
Right.
You'd get a map, and that's kind of what I like to explain their fitness journey is their map, how they're going to do it.
Well, the three big questions, or three of the biggest questions, are where are you now, where do you want to go, and how are you going to get there?
Exactly.
And that's exactly
right.
What you're talking about there. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You bet. Well, what's next for you? I mean, you just competed in the Team Universe in New York City, right?
Yes.
That's huge. That's just a huge, huge competition. For anybody listening who doesn't know that much about bodybuilding, that is, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Karen, I believe it's the largest drug-tested national bodybuilding show in the country.
Yes, it's the only one that is drug tested, the only national bodybuilding competition that is drug tested.
And it's huge. If you're there and you're on stage, you are really a standout. You've really done well. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, I know you're talking about yourself, and it's kind of hard to pump yourself up a little bit, but I mean, you look at the other competitors there, and you're with them. Mm-hmm. Aren't they all in just really
Yeah, it's tough, and this was my third time to do the Team Universe, and this is probably the toughest competitive field that I've been up against. The lightweight class was phenomenal. Very, very good competitors. In fact, the girl who won lightweight, I believe it was 2 years ago, did it again this year and did not even place.
Wow.
So it was a very tough competition.
Mm-hmm.
And the overall winner, which means the, you know, you'll have a winner of the lightweights, middleweights, and heavyweights. Then when those two compete against each other, then you have an overall winner. That winner receives their pro card.
Okay.
So, and then the winner of each weight class goes on to represent the United States in the world's competitions, which is why that contest is drug tested, because you have to be clean in order to compete in the world.
Oh, okay. So what's next? What's the next show? What's coming up for you?
Well, I thought that this one was going to be the last one for this season.
Okay.
But I just don't feel ready to stop yet. So I think I'm going to go for Nationals in November, and that's going to be in Miami. Now, even though there are about 7 different national bodybuilding competitions, some of them are a little bit on a higher level, so Nationals is the hardest of all of them.
Is that NPC or?
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
NPC Nationals, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a lot of that's the very, very top competitors there, and that's not a drug tested show, right?
It's not. Nope.
Right.
And I realize that the caliber of competitors there are, they're above me. I don't have any problem saying that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're above me, and I would probably be up against women who are doing drugs, but believe me, I'd rather stand next to one of those and lose any day than to win the contest by taking drugs. And most of the time I can stand next to them and still
hold your own,
know that I look like a woman too,
right?
and have my health and still look like a woman.
Well, and I would imagine too, at your level now with your experience, you know, doing a regional show or a local show that's smaller is just something where you almost would probably in a lot of ways feel like you're kind of taking candy away from a baby, so to speak. It's just kind of just too low a level for you now.
When I, I'll read about a contest coming up, and I'm training some clients to do the Caveman, which is in Arnold, Missouri.
Right.
About a week from now. And part of me, you know, is like, oh, I'd like to do that. But, you know, you just can't compete in competitions just to be competing. It takes a lot out of you physically and mentally. So it's not that I feel like I would be taking anything away from someone else, because I'm sure that there's people in those levels that could beat me. But I also think the judges would look down upon that. They know if you're a national level competitor or not.
Right.
Once you've earned the status to compete nationally, well, that's where you should stay.
Oh, okay.
It's just a form of progression.
You bet. Well, let me ask you this. You've got a website, and it's Karen G. Online, right?
Yes.
KarenGOnline.com.
Yes.
And let me ask you something. As far as you at your career level, what kind of client do you like to come knocking on your door? Who do you like to train, or what do you like to do? What do you like to do most in your work field?
I love it when a woman comes to me and not only needs help physically with her body, but she needs to mentally feel better about herself. I love showing them that they can do this, and to see them kind of come out of their shell and become more confident and feel good about themselves. It's not always about how you look, but how you feel.
Right. And do you like the best at the in-person, that personal connection, personal training kind of thing?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And
I
have several clients who are competitors too, and I enjoy that a lot. But I think that's one of the best things about my job, is that I have so many different clients. I might have an 85-year-old man and, you know, a 12-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's different.
Everything's different. Well, how can potential clients find you? Give us some contact information so that as people are listening to this, if they are from Illinois or anywhere remotely close to you, that they could find you at some point in time in the future if they wanted to. And we've given the website, KarenGOnline.com, but anything else you'd like to give or you just want them to go to the website?
The website, they can email me from there, but I also have another email address, which is KGennetti, and Gennetti or Geninati, I have it pronounced both ways, is GENINATTI at hotmail.com.
Okay.
And then you just do a, you know, a search on the, like a, on a search engine, you can usually find contest pictures.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, that's easy to find, that's for sure. All right, very good. Well, I want to thank you so much for spending some time with me today and sharing, you know, just where you've been and your philosophies on training and background. You're certainly a standout. Anybody that gets a chance to see you compete should do so. And obviously, anybody that's even remotely close to your area who's looking for, you know, a personal trainer who really knows her stuff when it comes to creating that, you know, outstanding level of physique. And like you said, in helping the everyday average, you know, woman look better and feel better as well, it definitely should look you up. I'd highly recommend it. So,
well, thank you very much, and I consider that a compliment coming from you.
Well, thank you so much, Karen, and we will catch up with you soon and follow your path to wherever this... Hey, well, let me just ask you real quick, and I'll conclude it right there. How long are you going to do this? I mean, I know you're going to do this for fitness for life, but how long are you going to do this, compete?
People ask me that quite often, and even though I'm asked it a lot, I never give that any thought.
Okay.
I'm always thinking, what's next, but I'm never thinking, maybe I should stop.
No, gosh, no. And we see competitors all the time in their 60s and whatnot. It just depends on the show and the class.
Yes. Now, there does become a time when you shouldn't get on a stage with not very many clothes on, but it is amazing some of the physiques that you can see into the 50s and 60s.
You bet. Well, again, thank you so much, and we'll catch up with you soon, and good luck to everything that you're doing and all the people you're helping. They're very fortunate to be working with you, and thanks again, Karen.
Thank you.
Goodbye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about the Leanness Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle online program, please visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. Spelled out, that's www.LEANNESSLIFESTYLE.com. Thank you again.